Sometimes, service like this, you can be seated. Hard to discern exactly what the Lord is doing. I think the most important thing we can do is just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I learned a long time ago, every time I try to make a program, God throws it out the window. I always want to be able to give God room to work, move. Appreciate you being obedient this morning. God has been good. He's been good to you too, whether you realize it or not. If you want to try something with me this morning, I can prove it to you. Try this. You know what that is? That's grace, friend. I don't deserve a one of them, then there's no telling how many thousands I've already sucked in and blown out today. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Isaiah chapter number 40. I've got almost 15 to 12. Won't really be a sermon this morning, just a little thought to leave you with. I pray about that every year. These Saturday morning services are always, every year, the most tender services of the meeting for some reason. I don't know if it's because your body's tired, and you're wore out, and you ain't got the energy to shout. It's easier to just cry and weep. I don't know. But I enjoy these Saturday mornings. I wouldn't miss them for the world. I heard this last night. Brother Jenkins told me, and I thought it was very spiritual and thought I'd share it with you. He told me what to do. This for you married fellas. He told me what to do when you miss your mother-in-law. He said, when you miss your mother-in-law, he said, just reload and shoot again. Amen. I like that. Amen. Brother Jenkins is full of them. Full of it too. Amen. He's my friend. There was an old preacher in a major city in America years ago, back in the late 60s, back in Brother Roscoe's day. I've seen pictures of Brother Roscoe as a hippie. Oh yeah, big old peace sign around his neck and a painted up doodle bug. He was a sure enough flower child. I told Brother Shirley last night, I said, Brother Roscoe used to take trips, but he never left home. Amen. Because there's an old preacher preaching on the streets and handing out tracts in a major city. And he wandered up on these two old hippies, and they were stoned out of their gourd. And the preacher opened his Bible and began to share the gospel with them. And one of the hippies reached out and felt the pages of his Bible. And he said, whoa, dude. He said, that's primo paper, man. He said, could I have that? The preacher said, what are you going to do with it? He said, we're going to roll it. And the preacher said, I'll make a deal with you. He said, if you'll read every page you roll, I'll give it to you. So he gave the two old hippies his Bible. A couple of years later, he was in that same city preaching again, and he was on one street corner, and he heard some very loud voices down on the other street corner, and he looked, and there was two fine-looking young men down there just preaching their hearts out. He said, well, I finally got some support in this town. So he makes his way down to the two young men, and he looked, and he said, you guys look familiar. They said, yes, preacher, we're the two old hippies you gave the Bible to. He said, my soul, boys, what a blessing. He said, what happened? He said, well, we smoked Matthew. He said, then we smoked Mark. He said, and it was so good, we smoked John. We smoked Luke, but when we got to John, John smoked us. Amen. Amen.
I like that, don't you?
You read this Bible enough, it'll smoke you. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 40, very familiar scripture. Verse number 30, I preached a little bit along this line on Wednesday night at Brother Giardino's. And this won't be the same message for you guys. It's going to be different, I promise. But in Isaiah chapter number 30, the Bible said, 40 in verse number 30, the Bible said, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. I want to look at one word in verse number, the last verse, what is that, 31? I want to look at that word just for a minute, teenagers, this morning, wait. But they that wait upon the Lord, one of the hardest things in my Christian life is waiting. I am a very impatient person. I always have been. God has worked on that in my Christian life more than any other thing, and that's my lack of patience. I'm one of those who prays for patience and pray, God, give it to me now. Amen. I'm an impatient person. I want what I want, and I want it right now. Amen. But oftentimes, God says, wait. God always answers our prayers. It's either yes, no, or it is wait. How many of you have ever waited on God so long you thought He forgot you? I've been there. I've been there enough of times to realize that it doesn't do very good to wait, to get impatient on God. He said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I want to be a strong Christian. But first, I may have to wait. Are you listening? I want to be a strong pastor. I want to be a strong father. I want to be a strong husband. But for that strength, I may have to wait. He said, they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. I want to fly. But I may have to wait. He said, they shall run. Oh, that sounds, that's me right there. Count me in. I want to run. May have to wait. When God called me to preach, I thought, boy, I'm fixing to set the world on fire. Little did I know, I'd have to sit in our home church and wait. Waiting on God is one of the most important things you will ever learn in your Christian life. Waiting does not mean sitting idle. Waiting means not moving without direction. Waiting means being faithful where you are, faithful at what you know to do till God gives you new direction. I'm going to do my best to wrap up my part by 12 o'clock. I was traveling down I-85 north out of Atlanta. Worst traffic in America. San Francisco and San Diego, California has better traffic than we do. It's horrible. I was driving down the freeway and I saw the big electronic sign over the freeway. It said, expect delays. Expect delays. If you're going through Atlanta, you don't need a blinking sign. Expect delays. And as I'm fussing at the traffic and getting aggravated that it's going to take me longer to get to where I'm going, I'm sitting there frustrated, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, preacher, you're just going to have to learn to expect delays. I've learned over the years that sometimes God is a God of divine delay. Can I get a witness right there? We want what we want. Sometimes we think we know what we want, and we think we know what is God's will for our life. And we wonder why God is forsaking us and not just dumping it on us right now. Maybe we're not ready to receive. Maybe it's just not time. Maybe it is God's will, but not yet. We need to learn to truly wait on God. Waiting is a part of life. We see it in nature. You drop a seed of corn in the ground, you got to wait before you reap. You don't plant it and reap it the same day. or you're going to go to bed hungry on one kernel of corn. Amen. There's a waiting period. We see that in nature. We see it in life. I've got two grandbabies. When my little grandbaby was born, I thought he'd never talk. I thought, what's wrong with this kid? Take him to the doctor. He's 4 months old. He ain't said a word. I kept holding him. I said, say Papa. Say, I love you, Papa. He wouldn't say nothing. Drool running down his face. I said, man, he's messed up in the head. Take him back. Get me one that works. Amen. So impatient. We want everything right now. But there is a delay there. There's a process that has to be followed. Last Sunday afternoon, the grandbabies came home with us after church. And, of course, the little one, he ain't good for nothing but just to look at. But Hayden, my little three-year-old, I was laying across the bed resting before a Sunday night service, and he crawled up on the bed and he snuggled his head right up against my neck, and he said, I love Papa. Oh, woo! That was worth the wait, man. That was worth the wait. Say it again. I love Papa. Say it again. I love Papa. Say it again. I love Papa. And evidently he said, that's enough. He wouldn't say it no more. We see delays everywhere we look in life. Sometimes you think God's blessing everybody else and he's left you hanging dry. Man, it's been like this forever. I thought about Abraham and Sarah. God said to Abraham one day, he is down at the beach. Well, Christians don't go to the beach, we go to the coast, amen? He was down at the coast and he said, Abraham, do you see the sand? And he said, yes, God, I see the sand. He said, well, how many grains are there down there? He said, Lord, there ain't no telling. He said, well, that's how I'm going to multiply thy seed. God is giving him a promise of a son. And through that son, he's going to birth the nation. He said, Abraham, do you see the stars? Yes, Lord, I see them. How many are there? But God, there ain't no way I can count all them stars. Not a million years. He said, well, that's how I'm going to multiply your seed. Okay. We've got God's promise. When's it going to happen? Months go by. No baby. Years go by. No baby. Sometimes we get so impatient in waiting that we think God somehow needs our help. So Abraham's wife comes in and said, I've got an idea. Why don't you go in unto my handmaid since I'm barren and we'll have a child by her. Okay. Let's see how that works out. I don't know how many thousands of years ago that was. But we're still suffering from it today. The outcome of getting impatient and trying to help God fulfill His promise, we're fighting a war over it right now. The baby that came from that wasn't the promised baby. That was the mess that Abraham and Sarah made trying to help God to do. God doesn't need our help. God doesn't need your help to perform what He said He'd do. We don't have to help God do it. Are you listening? Years down the road, Abraham's an old man. His wife's an old lady. God comes and says, now's the time. What? His wife hears it in the kitchen and she busts out laughing. God said, I told you. I told you that I'd do it. If I said I'll do it, I'll do it. One of the hardest things in the world for a teenager is to wait. You know what you spend your whole 14th year doing? Can't wait to be 15. Oh, I remember. Oh man, 364 more days, I'll be 15 and I can get my learner's license. I turned 15, you know what I did my whole 15th year? Oh, I can't wait to be 16. Rushing. Hollywood has taught our young ladies to be women too soon. Some of you little girls need to go in the bathroom and get you a wash rag and some soap and scrub some of that Bondo off your face and be a kid for a while.
Hey, yeah.
Amen. See what all that stuff gets you? Look at Lindsay Lohan. Remember them cute little Olsen twins? You seen them lately? Don't be in such a hurry to grow up. Look at Britney Spears. I remember when she sang MICKEYMOUSE. Cute little girl. Growing up too fast. Leanne Rimes. We could go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Listen, if you're 15, suck everything out of 15 you can get. I mean, say, man, I ain't in no hurry for 16. It'll come whether I like it or not. I'm going to be 15 and I'm going to enjoy being 15. Some of you boys running around here, y'all goofy in your head, got them two little hairs hanging out of your chin. Put a little cream on your face and your cat will lick that off. Hey, man. Quit worrying, man. Slow down. Go home and play with your G.I. Joe, dude. Hot Wheels. I don't know what you got now, but go home. Play with your toys. You watch these boys walk around in front of these girls, their chest all poached out. They get it home by themselves. They got a truck on the floor going, budding, budding, budding. Hey, man. Be a kid, man. Don't be in such a hurry to grow up because it's coming. And everything that comes with it, it's coming. Oh, I couldn't wait to get grown, get out of the house, and have a job. I didn't know that meant car payment, insurance, gas, light bill, water bill. Man, what happened? Man, I was 15, Mama bought the food. I was 15, Mama cooked the food. I was 15, Mama paid my way in a skating rink. Mama paid. Hey, man, now I got it all on me. Trust me, I'm 45 years old. It seemed like yesterday I was sitting where you are. Don't get in such a hurry. God anointed David to be king over Israel. Did he not? But yet he's hiding in a cave, running for his life from Saul. God may have to put us in a little bit of a school where we've got to learn some things before he can really fulfill his will in our life. I'm going to give you an illustration and we're going to go home. Brother Chad, would you come? Bring your Bible. Miss Stephanie, I want you to come. Sister Stephanie, how old are you now? 31. Lord, you're old. Brother Chad, how old are you now? 35. Old folks. I'm just going to tell you stories, all I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to prove to you that what the Bible says is right. Sister Stephanie's 31 years old. Her mother's sitting here. She'll bear witness to this. Stephanie grew up with me. Stephanie grew up in my church. During her senior year in high school, Stephanie was saved. She was rebellious. She was saved, but she had no real relationship with God. We were taking a trip with our youth group and another youth group to Washington, D.C. and New York City. We were preaching a big youth meeting up there. Sister Melody, Stephanie's mom, made her go. She told her that was her senior trip. Can you imagine to a rebellious teenager, here's your senior trip, you're going on a youth trip. She was mad to say the least. Got on the bus with her lip pooched out. But in a service that we held at was it a YMCA or a Salvation Army camp? Stephanie got under conviction. I mean real conviction. This was one of those teenagers who reached that point of no return. And she got on the altar that night and she sold out to God. She literally surrendered her life. She wasn't just one of the girls in my youth group. She was the girl in my youth. Does that make sense? She was the leader in our youth group. She was the one in the youth group that all the other girls, when something was said, they looked to her to see her response. One of the godliest young ladies I've ever known. That was in 1996. Well, Stephanie's graduated high school, and she's always had a problem. She looked 11 when she was 20. We would go off on youth trips. She's a chaperone, and 12-year-old boys was hitting on her. That's true. I'd say, get away, punk. She's old enough to be your mama. For some reason, I guess the way it is, people down south seem to marry earlier than people up north. When girls get out of high school, they're looking for a mate. In our area, most of the time, before they get out of high school, they already know who they're going to marry. Stephanie had no idea. The only ones who showed interest in her were in elementary school. But yet she had sold her life out to God. And she so much wanted His will for her life. And she's watching the other girls that came up with her. And they have serious boyfriends. Some engagement rings on their finger. Their life, their plan is being laid out before them. Stephanie doesn't have a clue. Weeping, she looks to me and my wife and she says, am I going to be an old maid? She goes to work teaching in our Christian school. And I had to put her in the small, small grade where I knew the kids couldn't beat her up, baby. I'm giving you a hard time, ain't I, hon? Boy, she's a champ. And she watched her peers go on in direction for their life. She sought diligently for who she should spend the rest of her life with. And my wife and I would tell her, Stephanie, you just stay with God. You read your Bible and you pray. You see, what Stephanie didn't realize is why she thought God was leaving her all alone. God was miles and miles and miles and miles away in the God-forsaken, frozen north. Where a young man who had no direction for his life, whose daddy thought he would never leave home. When they first met, Brother Roscoe told me, I just want him out. Chad's on this end, never having even laid eyes on Stephanie Speck. Wondering, why are my friends finding their soulmate? Why is God revealing His will for their life and not for mine? What Stephanie didn't realize was while she's waiting over there and Chad's waiting over here, God is working on both ends. And the whole time what God is doing, He's sliding this chair this way and God is sliding, good God, He's sliding this chair that away. Are you with me? They still can't see one another. He cannot see what God is doing over here, and she cannot see what God is doing over here. Now, what if they had met when this chair was here? And what if they had met when this chair was here? And what if they had married when she was here and when he was there? I doubt they still would be today. Instead of rocking a newborn in her arms, Chad may be able to see one of them boys every other weekend. God's will for their life? Yes, but not yet. Is she the one? Yes, but not yet. Is he the one? Yes, but not yet. God is still working. God is still preparing this heart. God is still preparing this mind. God is still nurturing this spiritual woman. And all the time what God is doing is saying, wait. Just hang on. Just wait. Just wait. It took him a lot longer on this side. But God kept working. He knows. God kept working and God kept working. They even met. They counseled with me. They counseled with Brother Roscoe. Once the final decision was made, they left the will of God, and he brought her to New York. Kidding. They met. They got impatient. They had trouble. Right? You know what they had to do? They had to go back. Something's wrong. If this is right, we wouldn't be having this trouble. God's not through preparing. God's not through polishing or preparing this man to be a husband, daddy. Listen to me, boys. That's the greatest responsibility God ever put on a man. Be a husband, father. Some of you sitting here tonight thinking you're ready. You can't even control your hand, son. We okay? You can't even control your web browser, son. You're not ready to be a father. We best learn to wait. And us not jump so fast, but let's let God do the move. God pulls. God pulls. God pulls as he prepares. Finally, the Lord says, thank you for being faithful. Thank you for waiting, Chad. Thank you for letting me work in your heart. Thank you for letting me work in your life. That I might perfect my will for you. Nothing I've said about their testimony today is true. God blesses those who wait on him. They're not going through marriage counseling. Why? They got prepared first. Chad's not running to mama's. Stephanie's not running home to Georgia because they let God prepare their hearts first. I could give you testimony after testimony. I could tell you about how my daughter and I prayed when she was 12 years old. She vowed that the first man ever laid hands on her would be her husband. And we had a promise ring and we put on her finger. And she walked down the aisle the day I married her, December the 10th, the same day as my wife and I's anniversary. They said their vows. I said, Todd, you may kiss your bride, but do it quickly. I could tell you about the phone call that I got that night, about midnight. With a sobbing daughter on the other end, saying, Dad. Thank you, Dad. You corner either one of them up after the service. You look them dead in their God-given eyeballs and say, was it worth waiting? Was it worth waiting? Was it worth saving yourself for the one that God willed for your life? Some of you, and God can forgive you, don't get me wrong, but some of you are going to go into the right relationship with so many scars and baggage because you've tried everything. But it's going to be harder to build that right relationship. Wait. Wait. You know one of the greatest things about Christmas? I mean outside of the birth of Christ? One of the greatest things about Christmas is the days leading up to it. There's a package under the tree. It's been bought. It's been paid for. And it has my name on it. I couldn't comprehend this as a kid. It's mine. It has my name right there. I want to open it right now. If y'all see me after church, I can tell you how to get them things open. And I know I got... But as I grew older, I've learned to enjoy the anticipation, not even trying to guess what it is. Just anticipate it. Oh, what's God in store for me? I can't wait to see who He has planned for my life. I'm not going to diligently look myself and try every girl and try every guy. I'm going to wait for the one that I know God puts in my path and in my life. I'm going to wait on God before I choose where to go to school. Are you all right? What good is it for a preacher boy to go to a school where they don't equip preacher boys? Why does a preacher boy need to go to school where they major in music? Where they ain't got a King James Bible? Are you all right? I had a preacher tell me the other day he was sending his daughter to Bob Jones because their music program was so good. I said, yeah, man, but their Bible program stinks. Y'all all right? I'd rather have a mediocre music program than I had a mediocre Bible program. Better pray about where God would have you. I told Brother Treber one day, we were together out in California, and he had some of those college. You know what I'm talking about, preacher? Those big posters for their college. And man, it was beautiful. I said, Brother Treber, why come you don't never put no fat, ugly kids on here? Have y'all ever noticed that? Y'all ever seen a college tour group come in with fat, ugly people? Not one. I said, why don't you get some old girl in there, got so much hair under her arms, look like she got buckwheat in a headlock. I said, why don't you put some of them on there? He said, we ain't stupid, preacher. I said, hey. I understand the marketing behind that. Ooh, she's hot. That's where I'm going to school. Don't let that be your decision maker. Do not let that be your decision maker. Wait on God. Allow God to show you. I guarantee if it's God's will for you to go to a Bible school, He'll put somebody in your path. Oh yeah, it could have been John Jenkins. I'm not saying that's where you should go. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, God will put somebody in your path. God will lead you if you'll allow Him to. He'll lead you into a career. He'll lead you into who you'll spend the rest of your life with. I'm going to ask you a question and I'm done. How many of you girls, by a show of hands, have a desire and a dream to raise a couple of babies all by yourself? Oh, I thought everybody would want to. How many of you girls, your heart's desire and your dream is to beg your ex for child support every week? How many of you boys, your life's goal, your life's dream is to be dragged through divorce court? Some woman taking everything you own that you've worked so hard to pay for. Getting to see your children only every other weekend. I grew up that way. And it stinks out loud. Some of you grew up that way. You hated it every bit as bad as I did. When I was little, I wondered, what did I do? What did I do to make my daddy leave? Is that what you want to put on your children? You'd best wait on God. You'd best learn to let God lead, guide, and direct your life. Whatever you do, don't try to help Him. Don't try to help Him fix. We're getting the same mess with Abraham. I was a licensed plumber, right? People would call me and say they had a leak under their sink. How much would that cost? I said, well, it's cordoning, probably about $40 or $50. And you get there, and they've mixed up this two-part epoxy, and they've packed it all around the pipes and tried duct tape and silicone caulking. And I said, wait a minute, it's going to cost $175 just to get all that off. Because you tried to fix something when you had no idea what you were doing. And you wait till you've made a great big screwed up mess till you call a professional. Wouldn't it be best just to get it right the first time? Wouldn't it be right? I found my soulmate, kids. I was 14 years old. My wife was 12. You dated at 12 years old? No, sirree. But I laid in my bed one night, and my mother came in and prayed with me. And I said, Mother, I'm going to marry her. She laughed. She said, Son, you're 14. That's a long ways down the road. I said, Well, whatever. I'm going to marry her. She wasn't my high school sweetheart. She's my junior high school sweetheart. If we make it till December, we'll have been married 27 years. That's the one God gave for me. I don't want another one. Hope she don't either. Let's stand to our feet. Patience is a hard thing. Now listen. A couple of statements and I'm through. Sometimes it seems in our life like God is not doing anything. But I think when it seems that God's not doing anything, that's when He's doing the most. Remember Abraham and Isaac, that promised son, going up the mountain? Little did they know, while they were coming up this side of the mountain, God had the answer coming up this side. They couldn't see it. They were just walking in faith. They were just going on, obeying God. But God had the answer coming on the other side. He has your answer waiting for you. You'll be patient. Let Him lead you. Let Him guide you. Well, let's just mind the Lord. Brother Mike, you want to get us a song? Ask God to help you. Lord, give me patience. Help me to wait on You, God. Help me not to make these foolish mistakes that will affect the rest of my life.
Sing, I Surrender All. If Brother Chad's back there, he'll try to get the words on the screen for you. All to Jesus I surrender. First verse says, all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence, daily live. Let's sing on the first.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give.
Be a great way to end this meeting, young people. Just surrender your life for Christ. Just let Him have it. Make sure before you give someone else your heart, you give it to Him. Surrender all this morning. Every area, every aspect of your life. Put it in God's hand. Can't nobody direct you like Jesus can. Can't nobody guide your life like He can. And listen, He'll never lead you to a bad place. He'll never lead you to a wrong place. He'll never lead you into a wrong relationship.
You can't lose following God's will for your life. You can't lose. Sing some more, Brother Mike.
I'm going to sing the second verse. Just listen to the words and then join me on the chorus. Listen to the words.
What about it this morning?
All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Listen now.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all. Surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
I'm going to turn it over to Brother Roscoe. But listen, you've heard it several times this weekend. The testimony of the guy who says, I've been out in the world, smoking it up, drinking it up, doping it up, sleeping around. But boy, I repented and got right with God. That's a good testimony, but it ain't the best one. That's my testimony. That's not the best testimony. The best testimony is that second generation Christian that Brother Jenkins was talking about. The best testimony was, hey, I got saved when I was young. I never strayed. I wasn't perfect. But I never did drugs. Never tasted alcohol. And I made it to the wedding altar pure. I married God's will for my life. I found God's will for my life. That's the best testimony. It's unscarred. No baggage. That's a life of liberty right there, boy. That's what you ought to shoot for. That's what you ought to shoot for. Thank you for letting me come again. 12 years. It's hard to believe. It's been great. It's been great. I've seen God do some great things. I think it's a great thing that we've got all these pastors in this room who love each other, who support each other, who support each other's meetings and each other's ministries. That's wonderful. Where I live, you put this many local pastors in a room together, it'd be a last man standing. That's not totally true, but there's some truth to it. I appreciate you guys. I appreciate you guys. This is how you reach a state. This is how you get the gospel across the place where you live. One of you pastors, you can't do this by yourself. One of you pastors can't handle Rochester by yourself. There's a lot of people here. You need each other. And young people, you need each other. Amen. Thanks again. I love you guys. And I hope to see you again next year. I hope when I ask about, hey, where's so-and-so? Well, they're out. Purpose in your heart. I'm going to be here and I'm still going to be right with God. I'm going to stick to the vows I made to God. Amen. I'm going to take it seriously. Come on, preacher. Amen.